When we picture a successful startup founder, you know, the image that usually comes to mind is, well, it's pretty glamorous.
Oh, absolutely. You see them ringing the bell at the stock exchange or standing on a brightly lit stage giving some visionary keynote address.
Right. It's the glossy magazine cover version of entrepreneurship. But let's be real. You almost never see that same founder at like 11.45 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Surrounded by cold coffee.
Exactly. Staring at a glowing screen, just trying to figure out why their capitalization table on a spreadsheet keeps crashing.
Yeah, that part rarely makes it into the startup mythology. But I mean, for the vast majority of builders, that midnight panic over administrative tasks is the absolute reality.
It really is.
We love to focus on the brilliance of the product, but we just completely ignore the machinery that keeps the company legally and financially alive.
And that operational machinery is exactly what we are getting into today. Welcome back to our deep dive. We have a fascinating mission today, unpacking a master narrative from a company called Crosspoint.
It's a really incredible document.
It is. We are looking at a blueprint for a highly boutique service they call the Agentic Back Office. Basically, they are building a human-supervised, AI-driven corporate back office, specifically tailored for startups and micro companies.
And this matters to you, the listener, whether you are an entrepreneur pitching a vision, someone working in a fast-growing startup, or honestly, just someone curious about how AI is actually being applied in the real business world.
Right, beyond just the basic chatbots we see everywhere.
Exactly. This document reveals how the very structure of a company is fundamentally changing.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to jump straight into the problem they've identified, because before we can appreciate this futuristic AI solution, we have to look at the unglamorous reasons businesses actually fail.
What's fascinating here is the document's central thesis. That gap is where good companies quietly fail.
Yeah.
I mean, companies rarely fail because the product is bad or the market doesn't want it. They fail because the unsexy back office, the books, the governance, the corporate record, it just collapses under the weight of the company's growth.
And Crosspoint identifies two very specific scenarios where this happens. The first is, you know, the pre-money unicorn idea startup.
Right.
The core idea is brilliant. It could easily be worth a fortune. But the company itself is a structural disaster. The books aren't clean. There is zero discipline regarding the cap table, which, just as a reminder, tracks who actually owns what percentage of the company, and board minutes just don't exist.
Which becomes fatal the exact second they attempt to raise capital.
Oh, yeah.
A fundable idea suddenly meets an unfundable corporate structure. When an institutional investor comes in to do their due diligence, they send in auditors.
And auditors don't mess around.
No, they don't. So if a founder hands an auditor a broken Excel sheet where, you know, three ex-employees supposedly still own 15% of the equity, but there's no vesting paperwork to prove it, the whole process halts.
The funding round stalls out.
Exactly. Or the valuation drops significantly to account for that structural risk, or the investor just walks away entirely to find a safer bet.
Which brings us to the second scenario they highlight, the ungoverned micro company. So this is a business that actually has real revenue coming in the door, but they have absolutely no internal processes.
Right.
The founder is involved in every single transaction, becoming this massive bottleneck. And because they are so busy, statutory filings start slipping through the cracks.
And that compounds quickly.
It does. I mean, missing a state franchise tax deadline might seem minor at first, but it incurs a penalty, which can eventually revoke the company's legal good standing.
Which suddenly means they can't secure a bank loan or sign a new commercial lease.
Exactly. Tax exposure just quietly builds up in the dark. It's basically like taking a high-performance Formula One race car engine, your brilliant product, and dropping it into a rusty, unbolted chassis.
That is a perfect analogy.
You can rev the engine as loud as you want on the showroom floor, and it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But the second you take it out on the highway and try to hit 100 miles an hour,
the chassis just tears itself apart from the friction.
Right. And the founder ends up spending all their time trying to weld the chassis together while driving at top speed.
Which is impossible. That cost is highly concrete. We're talking failed diligence, accrued tax risk, and founders trapped working at 11 p.m. instead of actually building their product.
So if the back office is so critical, let's look at how founders typically try to fix this rusty chassis. I mean, why don't they just build a solid back office from day one?
Well, because the traditional fixes are essentially traps.
Yeah, let's run through those. The first one everyone tries is simply hiring a team, bringing on a dedicated finance hire, a company secretary, maybe someone for investor relations.
But doing that before a company has actually achieved product market fit is incredibly dangerous. I mean, you are taking on a massive six-figure recurring payroll expense for administrative overhead.
When you should be spending every dollar on product development and customer acquisition.
Precisely. You will burn through your runway before the business even takes off.
Which naturally leads founders to the second option, fractional executives. You know, hiring a part-time CFO or a part-time COO.
That certainly reduces the cost, but it introduces a new bottleneck. You are still relying on a single human being's limited bandwidth.
Right.
Plus, a part-time CFO is focused on financial forecasting. They aren't going to update your minute book or handle your corporate compliance. It rarely covers the whole back office coherently.
That leaves outsourcing. So you hire an external accounting firm and maybe a separate legal firm to act as corporate secretary.
But this creates a severely siloed environment. The accounting firm only cares about the ledger, and the law firm only cares about the legal documents. They do not talk to each other.
Meaning the founder essentially becomes the human API between these vendors.
Exactly.
The accountant needs to know if the board approved the new stock option pool before they can log the expense. The lawyer needs the updated financial projections to draft the board resolution. Neither one has the other's information.
So the founder gets stuck forwarding emails back and forth.
Yeah, translated between two different firms, acting as the integration layer.
The founder is still doing the heavy lifting of keeping the company's narrative consistent across all these disconnected parties.
Wait, what about DIY with SaaS tools? We have software for everything now. Shouldn't that solve it?
Mm-hmm.
I can go online right now and buy an accounting app, a cap table manager, a digital document vault for maybe $100 a month.
It is the most common trap founders fall into today. We confuse having the tool with having the output.
Mm.
SaaS platforms give you incredible infrastructure, but they essentially hand you an empty bucket. They provide a blank ledger, an empty data room, beautiful templates, but the tools don't do the work.
They just format whatever you manually put into them.
Right. If you buy a cap table management software, the software doesn't know if the equity distribution is legally sound or compliant with your specific board resolutions.
Right. It just calculates the numbers you type in.
Exactly. You still have to be the accountant, the corporate secretary, and the investor relations team. That is the trap. It gives you the illusion of a robust back office, but the labor is still on your plate.
That distinction makes a lot of sense. You can buy the world's best set of hammers and saws, but you still have to build the house yourself.
Exactly.
Which brings us to Crosspoint solution. Because if hiring breaks the bank, outsourcing breaks the founder, and software is just an empty bucket, they are proposing an entirely new paradigm, the agentic back office.
And this completely shifts how we need to think about organizational structure.
Yeah, they aren't offering another software tool to log into. They're offering a complete corporate team structured as a design team of AI agents. And they actually configure these AI agents as corporate seats with specific responsibilities.
It's a literal roster.
Let's break down that roster.
At the top of the system is the chief of staff agent. This is the orchestrator. Its sole purpose is to understand what the founder wants, route the specific subtasks to the correct AI team members, and then return one cohesive result, which keeps the client entirely out of the router seat.
Right.
That eliminates the human API problem. The founder is no longer managing vendors. The chief of staff agent manages the internal network.
Then below that orchestrator, you have a highly specialized team. There is a CFO agent handling management accounts, a bookkeeper agent for the gritty double entry books,
bank reconciliations and all that.
Yeah. A corporate secretary agent for the minute books and compliance, an investor relations agent dedicated to fact sheets and annual reports. There's even an IT manager agent for security baselines like MFA and a brand or marketing agent.
And it's completely extensible to, say, a COO or CTO role as well.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. These aren't just independent bots sitting in silos. They actually pass work to each other laterally in one shared task queue.
That lateral handoff is the secret sauce.
Can you explain how that actually works in practice?
Yeah, so imagine a software subscription receipt comes in. The bookkeeper AI logs it, does the double entry reconciliation, and flags that software expenses jumped 20% this quarter. It passes that insight laterally to the CFO AI. The CFO AI analyzes the impact on the financial runway and drafts a financial note.
Wow.
Then the CFO AI passes that note to the corporate secretary AI, which seamlessly incorporates the financial update into the upcoming quarterly board report.
So it operates as one cohesive company, not just a stack of vendors.
Exactly. And it does this while being designed to a standard, not just to good enough.
What do you mean by that?
The system self-scores against professional best practices. For example, the corporate secretary AI will cross-reference its drafted resolution against international corporate governance standards to ensure all the legal boilerplate is present before it ever reaches a human's desk.
But that naturally raises a huge red flag for you. We've all seen AI confidently hallucinate facts or make, you know, bizarre logical leaps.
Oh, sure.
Are we just turning critical corporate compliance entirely over to machines? What happens when the AI messes up a tax filing?
Well, that is where the architecture here is heavily differentiated. Wow. Crucially, the AI does not have final authority. The system is designed with clean, single approval gates. The AI agents do all the exhaustive drafting and reconciliation, but humans decide. Nothing goes out the door without a human operator reviewing and signing off on it.
So it's easy to promise a seamless AI corporate team, you know, theoretically. But the document provides hard proof, which moves this discussion from a cool theory to reality.
Yes, they eat their own dog food.
That was the most surprising detail in the text to me. Crosspoint isn't just selling this infrastructure. They run their own regulated entity, a real British Virgin Islands, or BVI, business company, entirely on this exact AI team.
This raises an important question regarding trust, honestly.
Yeah.
The document states quite clearly everything Crosspoint asks a client to trust, Crosspoint already does to itself.
That's a bold claim.
It is. And we should clarify that the BVI is not some casual, unregulated tax haven from a 1990s movie. It's a highly sophisticated, heavily regulated international jurisdiction with stringent anti-money laundering and financial reporting requirements.
Running a regulated entity in that environment using an AI team is a massive stress test.
It's the ultimate validator for an institutional investor.
And they lay out the specific receipts. They have filed a BVI annual financial return straight off clean AI-managed double entry books.
Impressive.
They have fully e-signed board resolutions, a cap table perfectly reconciled to the official share register. And they manage all of this through a governed document management system, or DMS, where every document is sequentially numbered and strictly version controlled.
If a document is updated, the AI tracks the exact lineage.
So having proven it works on themselves, how does a client actually use it? Like, what does the founder actually get?
The primary deliverable is being investor ready by default.
Let's talk about the data room. Because when they say data room, they aren't talking about a messy Dropbox folder with some randomly named PDFs.
No, not at all. It's a curated index package that survives serious scrutiny. The hallmark of a professional data room is complete structural coherence. The revenue figure stated in the annual report must perfectly equal the figure in the accounting ledger, which must match the budget approved in the board resolutions.
And because the AI agents pass work laterally, that mathematical coherence is achieved by default. It even handles things like ensuring proper forward-looking statement legends are included.
Or mapping out a value versus capture split on contingent interests.
Which sounds incredibly complicated.
It is notoriously difficult math merging legal constraints with financial forecasting, but the AI handles it.
They know three ways to engage with this. First, there's the foundation engagement, a few weeks to stand up a diligence-ready back office from scratch. Second is the operated back office, which is an ongoing monthly rhythm.
The AI keeps the books reconciled, and the founder just gets a curated decision pack to review.
Right. And third, they have raise-ready sprints, which are project-based for specific milestones, like generating an institutional standard board pack right before a series around. But who is the human actually supervising all this?
That brings us to Mika Toivola.
Yeah, so what does this all mean for the client, having someone like that involved?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this isn't just a self-serve app. Mika Toivola is an operator with over 25 years of complex corporate finance experience.
He's led over $2 billion in sukuk, which are Islamic financial certificates and traditional bond issuances.
He's held four different group CFO mandates. That caliber of experience is why the human AI partnership works. You have an untiring AI team doing the heavy lifting, but the drafts are supervised by someone who inherently understands what a $2 billion transaction looks like.
So they're essentially productizing decades of high-level operating experience.
Exactly. And it's explicitly not for companies who just want the cheapest bookkeeping or founders who refuse to keep a human accountable at the decision gates. It's for founders who need to actually be investable.
Not just look investable. Well, to summarize our deep dive today, The agentic back office is a blueprint for solving a founder's ultimate headache. It blends this incredible AI orchestration with high-level human accountability to build an institutional-grade company from day one.
It entirely changes the barrier to entry.
It really does. And why this matters to you, whether you're pitching a unicorn idea or trying to wrangle a messy micro-business, is that the standard for your back office just got exponentially higher and simultaneously much more accessible.
I want to leave you with a final, slightly provocative thought to ponder on your own.
Okay.
If a bespoke team of AI agents and a single human orchestrator can perfectly execute the complex governance, finance, and compliance of an entire corporate back office, how long until this exact same model moves to the front office?
Wow. Like sales, marketing, product development.
Exactly. What happens to the definition of a company when a billion-dollar enterprise might only consist of a founder, a human supervisor, and a massive army of specialized AI agents?
It fundamentally rewrites what it means to build a business. We'll leave you to mull that one over. Until next time, keep digging deeper.